Congregation, the chapter that we have read of Romans 5, the apostle reminds us in verse 11, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy. And nowadays when you visit a health clinic, or the hospital, the first question that you are asked is, do you feel anxious about a lot of things? Have you been worrying about the last 6 months? Or do you feel restless? Or do you have problems with concentration or trouble in sleeping? Or do you feel depressed? And I think it is not an overstatement that in our culture is marked by joylessness. A society, particularly now, that is marked by stress and anxiety and worries. And yet, joy is fundamental to our well-being, to our existence. True joy. It is one of the purposes of your and my life. So the Westminster Catechism reminds us what is the chief purpose for which man is made. The chief purpose for which man is made is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are created for enjoyment, to rejoice, to have joy. It is one of the practices or experiences of the new spiritual life. So the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us, I feel now in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. A sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. True joy. It is one of the foremost results of preaching, of gospel preaching. And does not Isaiah capture that well in chapter 61, when the good news, the gospel, is brought to bind up the brokenhearted, to give liberty to the captives, to comfort all those that are mourning. What more? Joy. Instead of mourning. Then my question is, why then do conservative, confessional, reformed people have the common reputation of being joyless? How do you account for the fact that Calvinism has this reputation as a relatively joyless tradition? And congregation, I think we are a part of a postmodern culture where it seems that the very idea of joy is increasingly absent from the lived experience. And even at times it seems to disappear from Reformed theological reflection and from a joyful devotional life as well. Well, Scripture is full of joy, commended as a part of the Christian life. And then the question for all of us this evening is, and also for this new week, do you have joy? Joy in the Lord. And to reflect on that, first we look to Scripture what joy is. Our first point, joy is a frequent theme, I said, in the Scriptures. And it's constantly associated with salvation. As we see in the Psalms, in the Prophets, in the Gospels, and Paul's epistles. And look, for example, to the book of Psalms. Joy is a response of gratitude to God's saving work. Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Psalm 35, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Psalm 95, oh, come to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with gratitude, with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. In the prophets, for example, the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation, and therefore, and that is the reason, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And Jeremiah, one of the other prophets, Jeremiah in chapter 31, when the Lord delivers his people from distress, the response is, then shall the virgin rejoice in dance, both young men and old together, for I, says the Lord, will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Congregation, joy is a response of a God-given salvation, of God-given deliverance. And when you go to the Gospels, and for example, the Gospel according to John, joy is commonly associated with union with Christ. For example, John 15, these things I have spoken to you, says Christ, that my joy might remain in you, union with him, that your joy might be full. And last but not least, we find the theme of joy in Paul's epistles, joining joy and peace together on several occasions as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Philippians, the epistle of joy, 4 chapters only. But the apostle records at least 16 times the word of joy, as he mentioned the word Christ many more times, because joy is found in Christ. This part and parcel of the Christian experience. In Galatians, for example, we find joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And so in the epistle to the Romans as well. Romans 15, for example. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, rejoice in hope. And so in our text chapter tonight, in Romans 5, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And verse 11, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Scripture says about joy. Joy is experienced when salvation is experienced. Joy comes from God. It is a gift, as salvation is God's gift. Psalm 4 says, thou hast put gladness, joy in my heart, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. There is joy in Christ, says the Scriptures, who accomplished salvation, full and free. As our text chapter says in verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the scripture says there is a joy in God through Christ for his present care and providence and his preparation for future glory. As our text chapter says in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Congregation, do you have this joy of which the scriptures speak? Horatius Bonar wrote, "I praise the God of grace. I trust his truth and might. He calls me his, I call him mine, my God, my joy, my light." C.S. Lewis reminds us, joy is the serious business of heaven. Do you have that joy in your life? That's the invitation this evening. Because, congregation, we need it. And our second thought, why do we need joy? And first, by nature, we have lost all joy. We read in our text chapter, while we were yet sinners, verse 8, verse 9, under the wrath of God, verse 10, we were enemies. Verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so verse 18 concludes, therefore by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. In fact, congregation, the chapter, the preceding chapters, chapter 1 to 3 of the book of Romans, make it very clear that we utterly miss joy. Read chapter 3, verse 9 to 18. It is the portrait by nature, completely joyless. The Lord says in his word, there is no one righteous. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God, and the way of peace we have not known. And therefore, young people, remember all the pleasures that you give yourself in your life are usually often substitutes for joy. We were created for joy. But the Lord reminds us in his word, we choose sin and sorrow, death, not life. Living outside paradise, living outside Christ, living outside God's presence. Congregation, do you begin to see that there's a great need for joy? For all the miseries we have plunged ourselves in. And secondly, why we need it, times of hardship and trials and sufferings in your life. Maybe some of us, and particularly now, the constant juggling of finances, or life's struggle, or depression and burdens, and it seems too heavy to bear. And the COVID-19 pandemic, with all its challenges of isolations and restrictions and limitations. If you follow the news, the suicide rate has increased significantly in this past year. Teenagers in particular. And never think that will never happen to us. That there is an absence of joy. Maybe in the relationships. Maybe in your work. Maybe in your marriage. When you feel at loss. Lost your purpose. I read of someone who wrote, I had everything, a home, a loving spouse, two beautiful daughters, financial security, and for years this life was welcomed. My life was uncomfortably predictable. I know what was going to happen next, every moment, the next day. But over time, I felt at loss, lost purpose, lost in the midst of marriage and the business of life, and I became depressed. Times in your life when sorrow grips and presses and oppresses and brings pain to the heart. When the darkness seems not to lift. Times that you understand the psalmist in 61, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. And the cry of the heart, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And there is a third reason why we need a God-given joy. Psalm 51, where David writes, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore. He knew something of that joy before, but he did not experience it as before. Restore because, as we learn from Psalm 51, because of his sin. Sin is when we trust something other than God, when we lose our contentment in God, when you stop listening to God. And maybe that is why you are living a joyless life, because of your sin. That you grieve the Holy Spirit. That you interrupt the exercise of faith. That you wound your conscience. And sometimes that you lose a sense of God's favor. And yet the Lord preserves his own work, the works of his hands, as we begin this night, so that David's words becomes your word, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Nothing else can satisfy but the joy of his presence, the joy of his salvation. A congregation that is not only available, but it is offered freely, generously, graciously, also this evening. And that brings us to our third point, when joy is received. It's what we read in Romans 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that continue in verse 10. If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. There is a rejoicing because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith. Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, says the apostle, because we were reconciled, we were saved, we have received atonement. Do you see, congregation, joy is a marker of a justified person, received by faith. Joy is experienced. A lived experience when you receive this spiritual life. Children, when you are converted. And for some that can be very sudden. And for others that can be by a way of great terror of the law. And for some other people it can be in all calmness. When Christ overwhelms your soul. When, so write one of the Puritans, the sweetness of the gospel fills your soul. That you don't have time to think upon on your sins with terror. And in others, the Lord works in a quiet manner. You see your sin, and you hear the offer of the gospel, and you see Christ, who is altogether lovely. You turn to him, take refuge in him. You look unto him, you long for him, you yearn for him, hungry and thirsty. Christ is precious to you. And you hear his voice, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes. Leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, so that you may say by grace, this is my beloved, this is my friend. But congregation, whatever the way the Lord has with you, this is shared. There is a joy, unspeakable. Yes, in the beginning of conversion, sorrow and joy can be mixed. This mixture of sorrow over sin and the joy in Christ. This taste of the bitterness of sin and the sweetness of Christ. And yet the unspeakable, inexpressible goodness of the Lord gives a joy of this undeserved, amazing wonder. Enemies were reconciled. Sins are forgiven. Do you begin to understand the apostle? We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Atonement that is to cover your sins with his blood. Congregation, that means it is forgiven and it is forgotten. His blood cleanses of all your sins. To have this understanding by grace, what we read in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. That is the wonder. Ungodly means godless, destitute of a reverential cheer, childlike fear of God. That is the amazing grace that is proclaimed. To experience, to know something, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Every sin on him was laid. Also your sins, those lamentable faults and failures, so that you may testify by his grace, here in the death of Christ, I live. That is joy. He for me. That is a joy that passes all understanding. This joy in Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though we now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joys unspeakable and full of glory. So the Apostle Peter reminds us. Do you know of this joy? Do you know this joy? That is also experienced in the continuing work of grace. In serving the Lord with fear and childlike fear and rejoice in trembling, zegt Psalm 2. In times of repentance. Christ says that repentance brings joy. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Congregation, may I ask you tonight, when was it the last time that there was joy in heaven over you? Yes, but someone says, but my sin. There was a 17th century pastor who wrote, falling into sin. Falling into sin motivates the believer not to remain there, but to rise again and cheerfully to persevere, as it always affords free access to the throne of grace. As the apostle said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And therefore this pastor goes on, do not condemn yourself if God justifies you. To do so, it would be deny the work of the Holy Spirit. And this would be a despising of the merits of Christ. To do this would bring anguish upon yourself. The Lord does not cause you to grieve. This would be an unnecessary loss of joy. And therefore take refuge in Christ. Remember, Christ's work is a complete and unfinished work. What he offers freely and generously and graciously. The apostle refers to it in verse 15 and onwards. It is a free gift. This grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. And by the righteousness of one Christ, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. And therefore the invitation can go out also tonight. Come unto me. Whoever you are, burdened with sin and shortcomings, laden with anxieties and worries, maybe distressed with cares and concerns, or troubled with sorrows, or having a joyless life, Christ invites, come to me, and you will find rest. Rest for your soul. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing should be added. And nothing can be added. Is that your joy? Christ and him alone, so that also tonight you can say, we also, O wonder of grace, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To experience Jesus, thou art the center of my joy. All that is good and perfect come from thee. Thou art the heart of my contentment, the hope for all I do. Jesus, thou art the center of my life. Then there are times that you can sing. What we should do maybe too. Of Psalter 270. Psalter 270 is the stanzas 1 and 4. Make a joyful noise, ye lands, and serve the Lord with fear. And what follows? Psalter 270, the stanzas 1 to 4. Congregation, we have seen what joy is according to the scripture. As the scripture explains what joy is. We have heard why we need it, and we need it desperately. And we have heard when we receive that joy because of that work of Christ. And our last point then, how do we live joyful to experience that joy? A congregation, moral reformation, comes by looking at rules and conforming to it. But spiritual transformation comes from looking at Christ, this looking, this gazing, this meditating in awe and wonder of undeserved grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Therefore, we have seen it in the chapter, therefore, says the apostle, that means also tonight, eh? Despite who I was, my past, and despite who I am, my present, but being justified by faith, says the apostle, says the Lord to us this night, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the apostle's joy, his rejoicing, his reflecting and meditating what Christ has done. Not making a list of what to do and not to do and how to live that. It is as with the psalmist in 43, then I will go to the altar of God, the God of my exceeding joy. What Christ has done, that only sacrifice sufficient for the sins of the whole world, sufficient for your and my sin. When you have experienced by grace, not only for others, but also for me. That is a joy unspeakable. But it drives us out looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Of as the apostle said, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto him. That is the first and the foremost how to live with joy in your life. Tomorrow morning, let us be practical. If you ask yourself, can I now live with that joy? Meditate, reflect, consider that first, often, and daily on Christ, his suffering and death, who endured with patience, perseveringly the cross, when he hanged there and said, Father, forgive them, so that you can be forgiven for his sake. When he cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? So that you are never forsaken by him. When he cried out, I thirst, so that you with joy may draw of the well of salvation. When you bring in remembrance and remind you that he was despised, disdained the shame, disgraced. En voor hoe? En voor hoe? Meditate and reflect also on that every day. Then by God's grace you may something know of this joy in the Lord. You did not deserve anything. And yet God gave everything that he had, his son, who exchanged the glory and the joy which he had with the Father before the world was. And he accepted the cross and the blame and the wrath of God over your sins. Humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Though he was rich, says the apostle, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Congregation, when you think on that, that humbles. And that shapes your life with a deep and a lasting joy that longs for more. Christ endured this all for the joy that was set before him. For that joy, seeing each of his children for their sake, for their salvation, for their situation they are in even now. What then are your trials compared to his agonies? What are your struggles compared to his sufferings? He endured all the suffering for the joy that was set before him. In view of all the honor which he would have at the right hand of God, meditate also on the risen and living Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, where he continues and cares there for your interest, where he is your advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven, where he pleads and intercedes for each of his children, even now, and where he prepares a place for each of them. Does that not give you joy? Does that not give you joy? A perspective in life. This knowledge, not only what he has done for you, but what he still does and what he will do. And therefore we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Maybe you are in challenging circumstances. Maybe current difficulties that seems not to change materially or physically, but having this unspeakable joy. Reading his word, and even in the most difficult moments of your life, even Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he experienced, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was in me, the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Joy, that is the great paradox of the true Christian. Joy amidst sadness and sorrow. When there are times that you are stressed and confused and don't know where to go or what to do, and still that you can be joyful, knowing that God is in control. Young people, even when you are sad or upset or worried, you can have this joy, and not any joy, but a joy in the Lord. Joy that he knows. He knows you, who we are, where we are, what circumstances, even when things are not going your way. And therefore, young people, instead of always trying to be happy, let's be joyful. It produces better results than happiness. And God-given joy is a happiness with gratitude. The Apostle James says in chapter 1, "My brethren, count it for joy when you fall, when you encounter various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience." And so the apostle writes in our text chapter, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience hope, and that hope makes not ashamed, because God is not ashamed to be called their God. And that gives at times such a joy, such a longing, when you have this founded hope, this certain hope, maybe not certain in yourself, but it is certain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you long that your heart will rejoice with an everlasting joy. Yes, congregation, then the best is yet to come. And therefore, I leave you tonight with three considerations. First, if you still don't think that you need this joy, or maybe you think that cannot be for me, this joy in the Lord, this joy of salvation, the invitation this night, maybe not tomorrow, tonight, this invitation comes particularly to you. Don't continue to harden your heart. Today, you have heard His voice through His word. Bow down. Kneel before the Lord your Maker. Don't delay any longer. Why would the Lord grieve over you more? Come before Him tonight and experience that unspeakable joy. Secondly, many of us here in this congregation, by God's grace, may attend the Lord's table. But congregation, are we a joyful community? So rich for Christ's sake, and then living in a sorrowful poverty? Are we a testimony of that joy in the Lord? A joyful people, inviting those around us, come and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is our hope. He is our joy. And thirdly, when you know by grace how to live with this joy, when you cannot deny tonight that there are moments in your life, those moments of true joy, and then you hear tonight of that joy again, it is like a road sign on the way home. And these road signs can be an encouragement on the way, but it is not home. And for example, when you are lost in the woods and you see a marker of direction, a road sign, it is a moment of surprise, it is a moment of joy. And for the first time, you see that direction, you say, look, you're joyful. But When you are on the road and passing other road signs as you go on, you usually don't stop and stare at them. You are on your way home. Road signs are but a taste of what is to come. So when by grace you have been placed on the way of life, remember you are on your way home, that heavenly home. And then this road sign this night is reminding you of the joy in God, the joy in Christ. This rejoicing of who God in Christ is for such a one as you are. But it is but a taste of home. By this joy you were persuaded, you embrace it. And when you are reminded, this is that road sign, you don't stop often and stare, and though it is often done, and certainly you don't go back where you came from. You can't, because you have tasted heaven. And you confess, also for this new week, you confess to be strangers and pilgrims on earth, and you declare to seek a country. And so when with these words the Lord leaves us for this new week and encourages us, these are road signs and reminders of this aspect of the Christian life, this reminder of joy, the joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were given this evening on your way home. Home is when God's people don't sigh with the psalmist anymore, save me, O God, for the waters I come unto my soul. Home is where all the suffering will be gone, when all the anxiety and worry is over, when all the disappointments and discouragements are behind. Home is when we will see him as he is. C.S. Lewis wrote, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking and longing for all my life, though I never knew it until now. What a joyful day that will be. That joyful day, when the ransom of the Lord shall return and come, that is certain. To Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, how great is his goodness, which he has laid up for you who fear him. To be in his presence is fullness of joy, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, that it may sink deep in our hearts and minds, that thy word might shape us for this new week, to meditate often upon thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to experience that joy unspeakable. We have this longing for that heavenly home. Lord, be with each of us, that we may practice us as a testimony of thy grace in this new week that lies before us, wherever thou hast given us a place, in the workplace or at home, that people may see that joy in the Lord to be in his presence. Forgive our sins in speaking and in listening, and bless thy own word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, we conclude with Psalter 255, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4, and afterwards the doxology. Thank you. Congregation, go home in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.